And the Lord would say unto us, you hear the chains falling. I sent my son to set the captives free. I sent my son to destroy all the works of the evil one. The chains have been broken. The chains must fall if you desire me more than you do the habits that allow the evil one to convince you that the chains are in place. The chains are broken. They must fall if you desire me more than the works of the evil one. If you desire me more than the habits that keep you bound up. The chains must fall, for I am raising up an army that will break every chain up on this earth. I'm raising up an army, for the day will come, as is prophesied in Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. I'm raising up an army, so that day will come when the chains are broken, when Satan is under your feet, not just in theory, but in practice. It's under your feet, not just because it's been paid for, not just because he's been defeated, but because he's under defeat. He's under your feet because you have enforced his defeat. You have put him under your feet and enforced his defeat with your feet because you've chosen me over the bondage that keeps the chains in place. The chains must fall for each person. The chains will fall for this world. The chains will fall for this world when my army rises up to enforce the peace. The chains will fall for the individual when you decide to dwell in me and let me dwell in you. When you decide that you prefer me to the works of the evil one. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight I want to talk about what we've been doing for the last 3 hours, which is being saturated with the anointing of God. Being saturated with the anointing of God. Once in a different life, the life before I was born again, I had gone to Arizona and visited the petrified forest and got a souvenir about a year long, about this round maybe. It looked like a piece of wood, like a piece of a log, exactly, until you picked it up. And it was absolutely heavy. The weight would shock you because it had been petrified. That piece of wood had become petrified wood, was now rock. It looked like wood. You would think it's wood, but it's all rock. So you look at me and you think, there's Joshua. If you knew me a long time ago, you said, there's Trevor. But it's not me. I remember shortly after I got saved, I went back to Las Vegas, where I used to live, and I ran into some friends. I had been there actually about a month before I got saved. Came back to LA, got saved, and went back. And this girl turned to my good friend there and said, Walter, are you sure this is the same guy that was here a month ago? I myself had not noticed that much of a difference. But boy, did they notice it. Why? The process of petrification had begun. I'm being petrified with the rock of my salvation. I'm being changed from the inside out to become more and more like Christ. I desire that God who lives in me, the Spirit of God in me, the love of God in me, the power of God in me would flow out, the life of God in me that would flow out through my heart and totally change my heart so that in my heart there is nothing but Christ and his anointing. That when my heart is full of Christ and the anointing, the only words that come out of my mouth are the engrafted words of God, which sets the captive free, brings grace to the hearer, and sets my soul free. James 1:21 says, the word of God would set your soul free. 3 John 2 says, as your soul gets set free, so does your health, your physical health, and your finances. Why is that? Because the anointing has fallen on you on the outside, and the anointing in you is coming out to change every cell, every organ, every system. That's what I want. I want to be petrified. I want to look like me on the outside, but I want so much glory on me that people will know that this is no ordinary person. This is a son of God. That they look at you and know this is a daughter of God, a son of God. They'll know that you're different. That we'll be a light on a hill that draws men to the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. And it all comes from wanting more of God. Do we want more of God? Obviously, if you've been here this evening, you want more of God. We want more of God. One of the things about petrified rock, which I just learned recently, petrified rock, petrified wood comes from a log, a tree, something falls down, and it falls in such a way that it's rapidly covered by the sediment and the water so that the oxygen can't decay it and the insects and so forth can't get to it. And when it's covered, as that water, which is rich in minerals, flow through it, the minerals replace the essence of the wood in the exact same structure, replaced by silica or calcite or pyrites. And they're replaced. And that's how you get petrified rock. But what I did not know until recently is within petrified rock, not all, but some, when you break them and you open them, the cavity inside, you know, many logs have a cavity inside. And you have geodes, you have precious stones, like amethyst, and other beautiful stones inside it. See, and when we are petrified with the rock of our salvation, when Christ floods us and we open up, people see miracles, signs, and wonders. They see the glory that changes the world. They see the glory that's going to come together to be that army that breaks every chain in these ending days. That's what we're all about, is being super saturated with the love and the life of God. If you take a glass and you mix sugar in it, anything, but it's like sugar, you can put sugar and stir it, and it will stir and dissolve and disappear. After a while, it doesn't disappear anymore. You can see grains of sugar in the solution. Am I right? Because a lot of you like sugar and probably have done that. You want a little lemon with your sugar aid, right? No, how you can get more in there is heat the water. As you heat the water, the little bits of sugar in there will dissolve and go into solution. And you can even add more sugar for a while. That's called super saturated. It has more sugar, more chemical in there than it would normally. But when it cools down, it comes out of the solution. And sometimes, if you do it properly, it can come out as beautiful crystals. Now, when we are hot for the Lord, and when we're in a situation where the glory of God is really strong, we get, in a sense, super saturated with the anointing of God. We get more of the anointing of God in us than we normally would get if we were not in that location. And then we go out, and we go out, and things happen. Like Marian, who used to have her permanent seat here on the couch before she moved to Detroit, went into a restaurant and went into the restroom. And the lady came over and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? She said, yes. She said, I could tell by your glowing. Come on out and pray for my husband. See, people have left here. And after they've left here, people have come to them and told them the same thing. You're glowing. What a wonderful opportunity to minister the gospel of Jesus. One lady went to a dinner and they said, you're glowing. When that second person said, you're glowing, she said, would you like to know why I'm glowing? And proceeded to tell about leaving this anointed service. We want to be just totally saturated with the life of God. And that's what this whole teaching is about. The anointing is the presence of God manifested for a purpose. So many times people kick back and they soak in anointed music. And there is an anointing there. And the anointing for the situations of which I personally know of what people have done. It's an anointing for peace and joy, getting rid of the stress of the day, maybe hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly. But whatever you have voiced and declared the purpose to be, and whatever the words are declaring, that's the anointing you're going to have. So if you want to have healing in your body, you declare this is going to be a time of healing. And you saturate yourself in healing music. Everybody who's interested in healing should have a set of wonderful healing CDs or MP3 tunes that you can play. And you just sit there and you just saturate yourself in healing. So the anointing comes as you sit there. But if all you want to do is get rid of the stress of the day and sit and relax and be under the anointing, you get the peace and so forth, and the peace will be up on you. But that probably won't produce the power you need for healing or for financial breakthrough. Because the anointing is the Spirit of God. It's His presence manifested for a purpose. The Spirit of God always moves with the Word of God. So the anointing is coming from the Spirit of God. Now we need the Word of God to create a change. So the Spirit of God moved over the earth, and God declared, let there be light. God declared what He wants, and the Spirit of God moved, and everything came into being. The Spirit of God moved over Mary, and God had declared that the Word become flesh. And the Word became flesh in Mary, and was born of woman, became the living Word, Jesus. Spirit and the Word works together. We want to be saturated in anointing. We want to be saturated with the anointing of God. But we need to understand that our words guide the end product of that saturation. An example is that burning bush. Moses is searching for more God, and there's a burning bush, and he goes off to see the burning bush. That's an anointed manifestation of God. In Luke 5, verse 17, it says, Jesus was preaching, and as he was preaching, the power was there to heal. So you must have been preaching and healing, for the power was there to heal. And there were many people there, but the only one who got the healing was the one who took the action of faith to release that healing power by coming down through the roof of the home. In Exodus 19, verse 9, God told Moses, I'll make myself appear as a thick cloud and speak to you out of the cloud so the people will know that I'm talking to you, and they will never forget, respect who you are. Let's turn to Exodus 24. Exodus 24, we'll pick it up in verse 13. In that movie, War Room, there is a scene where this guy comes and tries to rob this lady and the younger lady that she's mentoring. And the older lady, he said, like, give me your purse. And the older lady turned and said, no, I won't. In the name of Jesus, put that knife down. The guy froze, dropped his hand, and then left. Now, I heard on the news, on television, a similar story about a year ago, where this guy came into a convenience store to rob the clerk, and the lady was there, and the stern said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Put your gun down and get out of here. The guy put his gun down and got out of there. Okay? So these are two people who obviously have been spending time with God, spending time under the anointing, getting saturated with the anointing. So A, the boldness is there, B, the confidence is there, and C, the anointing is there to stop the person. It has to be automatic. I realized a few weeks ago that I was not spending as much time with God as I would. I was over here working on the computer, getting ready for a service, and something happened which really surprised me. And I used a word which I, in my life, I don't even remember using it half a dozen times. It's not a word that I normally say. Okay? I said, shoot. First thought was, where did I come from? And the second thought is, that's not what I would say. I would say, Jesus, or no, speak to the thing, or speak to Jesus, or pray in tongues. And I realized I had not been spending enough time with the Lord for that word to come out of my mouth. I'm not saying the word shoot is a bad word. It's just not part of the kingdom of God. It's not a kingdom of God word. If I had reacted that way when I turned around one night and there was a knife in my face, I'd probably be dead. But I turned around and my nose essentially touched a knife. And immediately out of me came, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. And the guy froze, started to shake, and back off and turn away. There's a big difference between my reaction when that happened 25 years ago and what happened when the silly thing occurred on the computer. My saturation had fallen off. It's very easy to see where you are in terms of your victory and breaking the chain by going through you every day and see what are you doing? What are your reactions? How much time are you spending with God? How much time are you spending for yourself? How much time are you spending for the devil? To me, the whole thing is very simple to understand. Maybe not so simple to do, although it's not that difficult to do. It's just love God and serve Him. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. So to me, it's very simple. If the devil is not fleeing from me, I'm either not submitted to God or not resisting him. Simple. Scripture says, with humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And I look at it. I'm finally doing well in life. I'm finally doing well in life. I understand life. I know I'm going to be here when Jesus returns. Sickness and disease, infirmity, those are not real challenges for me. Honor. Well, you know, I do have honor from the people from whom I want it. You know, I'm not famous in the world, but then the opinion of the world has no meaning to me. You're all here because you honor me as a pastor. You're the kind of people I want honor from. So I'm doing okay in honor. But riches. Oh, I have all my needs met. I can buy whatever I want. I don't want very much. But if I wanted a lot, I could get it. But I don't see the riches that Solomon had. I don't see the riches that Bill Gates has. And I'm born again and he's not. So that tells me I'm falling short in either humility or the fear of the Lord. I went up in prayer tonight and asked the man of God to pray for me for humility. That I'd grow in humility. Because I want riches in my house. I want riches and power at my disposal. Because there's an army rising up to break the chains. And that spiritual army will also need physical stuff. And it takes money. So I'm not playing games. As far as I'm concerned, everything we do here is life and death. Life and death. And my heart is so full of compassion for all the people who are dying. We're missing out on what we have here. So have we found Exodus 24? So God has called Moses up to Mount Sinai. Verse 13, Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Notice the word minister. That's what we are. We all strive to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can also be translated servant. His servant, Joshua. That's what we do. We serve the Lord. We wait on the Lord as if we are waiters in the restaurant of life, waiting on God. That's how we wait on Him. We don't wait on Him to make up His mind to bless us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every single blessing you need, every single blessing you desire, every single blessing you need for life and godliness has already been paid for, belongs to you, and all you have to do is realize the chains which have bound you in place have been broken, haven't been defeated. You just need to realize that and kick them off. And that happens as you saturate yourself in God. Nobody can saturate you in God but yourself. You got to make a choice. Do I want the lifestyle I have today, or do I want to give it up for a lifestyle of being saturated in the living God? Do I want a lifestyle saturated with the anointing of God? And if you're going to do that, then you need a purpose for your life. And the purpose is not playing golf. And the purpose is not partying. The purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a calling. Every one of us has a calling on our life to minister the gospel, to be servants of the gospel, to help prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ, which time is in the not too distant future. And nothing that you enjoy today on this earth can compare to the blessings that are ahead for those who choose to be part of that army that's rising up to break every chain. And nobody can make the decision for you but you. So Moses made the decision, I'm going to go up to the mountain. And Joshua's servants made the decision, I'm going to go with Moses. And they went up to the mount of God. Verse 15, and Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. The cloud was that visible presence of God, was the glory of God to such an extent that it shows up as a visible cloud. In the Azusa Street Revival near the turn of the last century, the anointing of God was so strong in that place, the glory of God was so strong, that the building at times shone so brightly that the fire department came on many occasions because people reported a fire in the building. I don't want the fire department coming here, but that's the kind of brightness I would like. Fire department won't come here, but that's the brightness we want. The glory cloud in that stable, for it took place in a stable, was so great that the children of Azusa Street used to play hide and seek in the glory cloud looking for each other. That's what I want. That's what I want. And that was precipitated, brought about by a man who had one eye, a one-eyed preacher, and wanted God so much that he prayed for 6 hours a day for 3.5 years for revival. That's how much he was saturated in God. 6 hours a day praying for 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, nothing had happened. And he said, God, what's going on? What should I do? And God said, pray harder. So for another 1.5 years, he prayed, I think, another 2 hours a day. And then the Azusa Street Revival broke out. And this man was so humble. This time he sat on the stage with a bag over his head to get out of God's way. That's the kind of humility we want. That's the kind of glory we want. It comes from loving God more than you do your sinful habits, and more than you love your carnal habits. Because carnality is not necessarily sinful. You know, we eat 3 meals a day. It's pretty carnal. Not necessarily sinful. It can be. Also, not eating can be sinful. Also, trying to eat too perfect a food can be sinful. In fact, there's no word, the medical profession now has a word, for people who are so picky about eating the perfect food that it has become a medical syndrome. You know, anorexia is when they don't eat food and they can die from not eating food. The opposite is when they want to eat perfect food, and that has a name, which name I can't remember. It's probably perfectorexia. You like that one, huh? Okay, praise God. So Moses went up into the mountain by choice. Joshua went with him by choice. And the glory of the Lord abode up on the mountain. And the cloud covered it 6 days. So for 6 days, Moses is there. He thinks waiting on God, because God had some dinner guests and they stayed over. So for 6 days, God was busy. You think that? I don't think that. You think God was so busy he couldn't find time to see Moses? I don't think so. You think God didn't know that Moses was outside because his doorbell wasn't working? I don't think so. He had Moses wait 6 days. And Joshua waited with him 6 days. 6 days with no food. Waiting for a God you can't see. Who said, come on up here now, and then has you wait for 6 days. Let me tell you what happened in those 6 days. Some of the things. They were immersed and saturated in the anointing for 6 days. What happens when that happens? Well, in the presence of God, in the anointing, there's fullness of joy. They're sitting there waiting for God. Their eyes are fixed upon God. Their minds are fixed upon God. Then comes perfect peace. And they're sitting there in patience, waiting for God. How do we know that? Because if they weren't sitting there in patience, they'd be sitting there in impatience, which means they'd be sinning, which means they'd never get to go further. In fact, they might have dropped down dead. Sinning, when the glory is strong, is not wise. We are children of God. We can get away with a lot because we're children of God. Moses and Joshua were not children of God. Moses said to God, I have a request. Let me see your glory. God says, you can't see my face. He said, let me see your glory. God says, you stay there in the cleft of the rock, and I let my goodness pass by, and you can see my goodness. And you can see my backside, but you can't see my face. For no man shall see my face and live. See, he was not a son of God. Not yet. He was a servant of God. He was a man. You and I are children of the Most High God. He is our Abba Daddy. It's a whole different world. And so we see God saying, sit here and watch my goodness go by. So we see God's glory is equated with his goodness. And that's what you and I want from God. We want his goodness, his blessings, to drive out of our lives everything that doesn't belong there. And that comes from the glory, from being in the glory cloud. And so Moses and Joshua are waiting. For 6 days, they're waiting on God. 6 days without sinning. Have you and I ever gone 6 days without sinning? I don't mean 6 days where you don't consciously make a choice to sin. I'm sure most people, maybe everybody here has done that. Where you've gone 6 days, in the 6 days, you have not made a conscious choice to sin. You're not like the man who broke all 10 commandments at one time. Right? Moses, you know, you all know that, right? Moses broke all 10 commandments at one time. Yeah, he came down the mountain and he got upset at him and he broke the commandments. Sure, you know that, yeah? He broke the commandments. Yeah?
Yeah.
He probably broke it because the man with him had no father. Never had a father. He was a son of none. Joshua, the son of none. Right? Okay, let's get serious. So they're waiting on God for 6 days. There are times in the past when people have said, people have said they're waiting on God, you know? They've done all they can and they're waiting on God. Let me tell you, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Because whatever you're waiting for from God, God has already paid the price for it. It already belongs to you. God sees you as having it. You're waiting for the chains to be broken. God sees you the way the Bible says you are. God sees you without any chains on you because the price for the chains have been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All the works of the enemy have been destroyed. But we are the ones that allow the chain to be on us. We're not enforcing Jesus' victory in our lives. And we're not enforcing it because when God says, go here and wait 6 days or 6 minutes, we don't do it so well. We may not sin carnal sins where we make a choice to do it. We may not sin by breaking some of the Ten Commandments, but we do it by getting into the bad habits we have, which we knew we shouldn't have. We started grumbling. I've been waiting 6 minutes and nothing is happening. I said, doesn't God know about a hairdressing appointment this afternoon? I got to get this done and get my hair done. And you're sitting there waiting. Somebody walks by and says, are you stupid? What are you sitting there in the cloud for? And you get offended. The other person calls you stupid. Or somebody comes by and says, you know, why are you waiting on God? A good thing to do is read the Bible. Read the Bible aloud. And you get offended because you know more about God than they do. And they're trying to teach you. These are all subtle habits that we have that we do. God gave Moses and Joshua an opportunity. An opportunity to wait in unity, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience upon him. And they had a choice to do it or not. Thank God they chose to do it. They chose to do it. And the same opportunity he gave Moses and Joshua is the same opportunity he gives to you and me all the time. He presents a situation and you have a choice. You can go through it, pass the test given by the lab assistant who is the devil, or you can flunk it and take it again. Every time you flunk it, you take it again. You flunk it enough times, it gets harder and harder. Best thing is to pass it first time. I've always believed in passing my test first time. Pass it. Because the way we go from level to level, from glory to glory, is the same way you climb a mountain. You don't climb a mountain by being in the valley all the time. I'm going to stay in the valley down here. It's cool, it's green, it's pretty, and I don't have to exert myself and get sweaty climbing a mountain. That's okay for you, but you'll never get to the top of the mountain. For every mountain experience, for every great victory, for every great testimony, there was a valley before it. It's always darkest before the dawn. You see the dawn best from the top of the mountain. At the bottom, you're the last one to see the dawn. So life is a series of opportunities to go higher or fall back. That's all life is. Life from now until Jesus returns is an opportunity. It has always been. From Adam fell. Adam had the first choice. He fell. He took the wrong choice. From then on, it's a series of opportunities to go from glory to glory or to fall back based on the opportunities you take. And you find the opportunities abound all the time. All the time. Every single day, you have opportunities to go higher or fall back. And nobody can make them for you but you. But as for me and my household, our choice is always, we want the choice always to be, give us the opportunity to spend more time with you. The opportunity to go higher. The opportunity to go from level to level, from glory to glory. The opportunity to move from one level of anointing to another. That's what I want for me. That's what my wife wants. And I know that's what you all want. But we just have to be aware that you make the choice every day in the small things of life. And so there's probably nothing smaller than sitting, waiting, and watching grass grow. And Moses and Joshua sat there for 6 days and could not even watch the grass grow because the cloud was so thick they couldn't see the grass. They just sat there for 6 days. But I'm sure in the 6 days they were praying. And you know what was happening? Let me tell you what was happening. Joshua and Moses were men. Men commit sins. Men make mistakes. Generic Homo sapiens, man, creation of God, make mistakes. Whether it's male or female, they make mistakes. They sin. Moses, for example, killed a man. So there's a violent streak to him. He ran away, and one of the first things we see is he is getting into a fight. So in him and on him, around him, there are influences of demons. One we saw very clearly was fear. Had a lot of fear that God had to deal with. But we see the example of the violence. Now, in Acts 8, verse 8, it says, there was great joy in the city. Great joy in the city. Why was there great joy in the city? Because Acts 8, verses 6 and 7 says that Philip had gone on to Samaria to preach the gospel. Why was that? Because back in Jerusalem, Saul was going wild trying to kill off all the Christians. And so the Christians split and left Jerusalem and Philip ended up in Samaria. So while Saul is trying to do a bad thing, God used it for a good thing, so the church got spread all over. So Philip is in Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel, and the anointing is getting stronger and stronger. What happened? It says they could see miracles, and they could hear miracles. What was happening? People were getting healed that they could see, and demons were coming out of people screaming. That's how you hear a miracle, when a demon come out screaming. Why were the demons coming out screaming? Because the anointing was getting stronger and stronger. It doesn't say he commanded them to come out. Maybe he did. But you see, you don't have to do that when the anointing gets stronger. I remember once, maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the Lord sent me to a small church. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to establish my kingdom in this church. That's what we teach that in semester 2. So I went to this church and I sat there and I prayed and I established the kingdom and I prayed God's anointing and God's authority and will and place and everything. And they never got out of worship. They started worship and the worship kept going and kept going and kept going. Pretty soon people are falling on the floor. Eventually, every single person, including myself and the pastor, were either lying on the floor or kneeling on the floor. All the musicians, praise and worship leader, were all on the floor, except for one man. And one man sat there with his little keyboard, playing his keyboard and singing. And everybody else was on the floor. And the anointing got stronger and stronger. And suddenly demons started coming out of people. You could hear the screaming. You know, not one person moved. I don't even think they looked. I mean, imagine it's perfectly quiet and anointing. Suddenly you hear blood-curdling screams. You think people jump up and say, what's going on? Nobody paid any attention. The demon just came out and left. The more you're saturated in the anointing is the more the chains will fall off you. In fact, that's all you need. The chains have been broken. You want them off of you? Saturate yourself with the anointing of God. It's like spiritual WD-40. Spray yourself with spiritual WD-40 and all the chains will fall off. But nobody can do that for you but you. You got to make a choice. I want God more than I want my bad habits. I want God more than the sickness. I want God more than this disease. And saturate yourself in God and let the chains fall off of you. Isaiah 10 verse 27 says, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Destroys it. Obliterated. Every chain, every bondage has been broken. You want to get it off of you? Be petrified with the rock of your salvation. Exodus 34, verses 28 to 33. So God had them wait 6 days. On the seventh day, he called Moses into the cloud, into the thicker part of the cloud. He goes into the center of the cloud. And he's in there with God for 40 days. Let me tell you, if he had not been there without sinning for 6 days, he wouldn't have gone in there. In those 6 days, he was being cleansed. In those 6 days, the demons running around him that had caused him to walk in fear and to commit, I guess, murder, killing a man, those kind of demons were all gone from him. Whichever ones were left. Bad habits were falling away. The chains were falling off him. And he got cleansed and walked into the cloud. But the same thing was happening to Joshua, which is why Joshua later replaced Moses as the leader. And Moses did some wonderful things. God used him to part the Red Sea. It's pretty phenomenal. God used Joshua to stop the sun. Which one do you think is easier? For God, they're both easy. Right? For God, they're both easy. For us, we can't do either one. Just like we can't heal anybody and we can't forgive them their sins, but the Spirit of God in us can do it. Amen? But we need to be saturated more and more with that Spirit of the living God. In Exodus 34, we see Moses coming back down from the mountain. And not only has it changed spiritually, he's changed physically. The anointing of God has changed every cell, every organ, every system in his body has been changed. He comes down, he does not even know that he's glowing. He's glowing so much, he has to put a veil over his face. You know that they've done scientific studies and where you speak nice things and prayers and feet next to water, and the water lines up and it's just orderly and beautiful. But when you speak harsh words and sinful words and terrible things around the water, water is all discombobulated. Well, imagine that. Your body is about 65% water. Your brain is like 95% water. And you put yourself under the anointing of God. What do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think happened to Moses? All the water molecules in his body, all the cells and organs started lining up to life. For God is life. God is life. God is love. And he was saturated in life and love for 40 days. 47 days, actually. When you hear that, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to lose yourself in God for 47 days? We can tread for 47 minutes and build on that, right? You know, the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation. Right? And with the terrible things in the world we see today, we don't want to be led in temptation. But we know there are times we make a mistake and we don't follow his leading and we end up in a situation of evil. It goes on to say, but deliver us from evil. In other words, lead us so we never get into a place of temptation. Because you know, when somebody's trying to kill you, there's a big temptation to fight, scream, yell, curse, all kinds of things. Shoot the guy, punch him. A lot of temptations involved when somebody's trying to kill you. So lead us not into temptation. But if we blow it, deliver us from evil. But how does God lead us not into temptation? How does he lead us? We're led by his word. His word is a lamp unto your feet. And his word is a light unto your path. You're led by his word. Either the written word or the word from the spoken word in your spirit. God leads you by his word. If you're not saturated with the anointing, you might miss hearing the spoken word and you might not know the written word or the revelation might come out. In these ending days, this world is like a spiritual minefield. You know, you walk into a minefield and something can explode any place and time. That's the way the world is today. And getting more and more stored. It's a spiritual minefield. And the spiritual minefield has explosives that go off in the natural, not just in the spiritual. Today, people can be killed just by being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's happening all the time. It's getting worse, more and more. So, you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because we desire always to be in the will of God, doing what God wants. You know, people say to me, why are you doing that? I always want the answer to be, because God told me to do it. Why would you want to have another reason for doing something if God didn't tell you to do it? Jesus is coming back soon. What are you willing to pay to be here when Jesus comes back? What are you willing to give up to be here when Jesus comes back? For some of you, that might be very important. For some of you, it might not be. For some of you, it might be like fire insurance. Like people say, you know, I'm believing for a miracle, spiritual miracle, divine healing, because I don't like hospitals. And my thought is, tell me five people you know who like hospitals. Or, I don't like surgeries. What you're saying is, I'm afraid of surgery. Yeah. So you are praying unto God for your healing because of fear. Does that sound like you're walking by faith? Right? Let me tell you, this is something everybody has to come to grips with sooner or later. That you cannot approach God in fear. God doesn't provide something for you because you're walking in fear. Fear brings the devil on the scene. The anointing drives the devil out. I remember before I was saved, if I were surfing the radio channels, and I got one and the preacher is speaking, and you could tell by their voice, even if you didn't know anything about God or the Bible, the gospel is the order of death to the unbeliever. Right? It really is. You don't have to know the preacher. You don't have to know the Bible. You just hear the preacher preaching and instantly you don't want to hear it. And you turn to it. See, I was there. It was the order of death to me. I did not know that. I turned it and passed on. But then I got born again. And then I started listening to preachers. just like some of you. Gradually, you get born again. You go to church once a week. And then you go to church once a week and you're reading your Bible. Then you go to church once a week and you're reading your Bible every day. Then you go to church twice a week. And once in a while, you go to some special evangelist meeting. And little by little, the anointing of God is petrifying you and you're being replaced. You're being changed little by little. Things you used to think was crazy. Sitting here on a Friday evening when you could be at TGIF, okay? It takes a lot of change to be here. You know, sitting here on a Friday evening, listening to a man teach who's telling you, I'm going to be here when Jesus returns and the devil can't kill me. I mean, you either have to be changed. All I can hear is just flipping through acting. They were telling Paul. Paul, you're mad. Well, he says, you're mad. I know there's one case where he said that. You're mad, Paul, you're mad. That great learning has made you crazy. Well, let me tell you. You think that great learning has made you all crazy? You're here on a Friday evening listening to all this stuff? What's happening is you're being changed. You're being petrified. You're being changed little by little. Little by little, the Word of God is changing your structure. And what I'm saying is the change that has happened to your emotions, the change that's happened to your mind, so you can sit here at 10 or 11 o'clock back east and listen to this on a Friday night instead of watching Mission Impossible. That change has caused you to be able to do that. That same change can change your body so it doesn't get sick, so it overcomes every challenge, so it doesn't die. Because the same change that's happening in your heart and your soul and your mind and your words will happen to your body. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead quickens, gives life to your mortal flesh. And that's the process. It gives life to your mortal flesh as you let the anointing saturate you and change you. Every bad habit we have will go through the window if you spend enough time with God. Every sickness will go through the window if you spend enough time with God. But nobody can make you spend that time with God. Nobody can make you spend that time in the Word. You got to want it. And you can't even want the whole shebang at one time. You got to want it one step at a time. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I want to move over there. It's a small step. It's only an inch. But Lord, move me that inch. And then another inch. And pretty soon the inches add up. That's the way it has to be. For the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's little by little by little. But you got to keep working on the little by little. Don't be complacent and be happy where you are. Don't think you've arrived. Don't think you know it all. These are all obstacles that will prevent you from growing. Change little by little. So the anointing is there. You saturate yourself with anointing. And you can lose that anointing to make specific changes by applying the Word of God. For the Word and the anointing will produce what you desire. John 8, 31-32 says, if you continue in the Word will set you free. Truth will set you free. It said the truth will set you free, but it says thy word is truth. You can use them interchangeably. The Word will set you free. The truth will set you free. James 1:21, then graft the Word will set your soul free. Isaiah 10:27, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, set you free. Matthew 12:37, you're justified by the words of your mouth. What does that mean? You are set free from every challenge of life by the words of your mouth, because by the words of your mouth, you can live as if you've never sinned. By the words of your mouth, you can live as if every blessing you need belongs to you, because they do. And how do you do this? You draw closer to God. James 4 verse 8 says, take a step towards God, He take a step towards you. One of the steps results in cleansing. James 4 says, submit yourself to God. Be under the anointing. Then resist the devil. Trying to resist the devil without being under the anointing is not that effective. Maybe the first few times. But it's the anointing that's driving the devil out. It's your word that's releasing and directing it. But if there's no anointing to go with the word, it's not very powerful. It's like doing affirmations and you don't read the Bible. Affirmations are bringing out of you the power of the gospel that you've put into yourself. Affirmations is releasing the power of the word that's stored in your heart. do affirmations without feeding yourself on the Word of God, sooner or later, you're going to run dry. So you're changed by the anointing to draw closer to God. You're changed by the anointing to have more joy, peace, and patience. You're changed by the anointing so you can receive the blessings of God. Which blessing? Healing? Better health? Financial breakthroughs? More success? All these come to you through the anointing when you speak the word that's specific to it. So you're under the anointing. You're saturated with the word of God. And you start declaring, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Let me tell you, after a while, the demons flee from you. Because they don't want to tangle with somebody who knows the word and it's been under the anointing. The anointing changes you so you can minister the gospel more effectively. Because fear starts to leave you and boldness starts to come. But B, people look at you and see the glow on you and they perceive that you have been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. They saw Peter and John. And they said, wow, how could these unlearned men speak so wisely? How could they do this thing? And they perceived that they had been with Jesus. So that's it. You make a choice to saturate yourself with the anointing. I wish I could do a better job of telling you what I'm trying to tell you. On the one hand, you have success in every endeavor of life. You have Ephesians 3:20 answers to your prayer. You have everything you need, everything you could desire. You have the power of God. And you can be here when Jesus returns. You don't have to be sick and you don't have to die. That's on the one hand. On the other one, you have everything the natural world sees. Everything in the natural world believes is going to happen. That's the other hand. How you choose which hand you have is by the anointing. You make your choice. I am solo for God. I'm hot. Hot, you get the sand. Cold, you get the sand. When you're lukewarm, Jesus spews you out of his mouth. That's it. Me, I want everything that God has. What am I willing to give up for it? I have given up everything. I really have absolutely, as best as I can think, no desires of my own. At least none that are important. I'm perfectly happy. I got the most wonderful wife in the world. I got the most wonderful congregation. I got a bunch of elders. I wouldn't trade them for any elders in any church in the world. I see God's power every day. What do I need? Because whatever else I get, in a few years, I have to leave it behind. But the devil has these chains that you think are binding you. And with these chains, he's saying, but you don't want to give this up. You like this. You don't want to go to church 7 days a week, do you? Well, if you're going one day, how about trying 2 days? If you're going two, how about trying three? If you're spending 5 minutes in the Bible, why not try for six? If you're spending an hour, how about an hour and a half? How about putting yourself on fast, food fast? Let's make it up. Burger King fast. Okay? Coca-Cola fast. Word fast. A flirting fast. How about that? No more flirting. Per day. All these various things you can do. Just bite off a small part of it. Let me tell you. If you listen to the news, you realize times are serious. You know, Russia is bombing in Syria, U.S. allies. Okay? The U.S. allies are the ones that are saying, we don't trust the United States anymore because we don't trust Obama. We have the president standing up and being very, very upset because of the recent mass shooting. And he, like all the people that I've heard speak, almost all the people I've heard speak, television, they want to take away guns from the people. Well, you know, I'm not saying that's good or bad. What I'm saying is the problem is not the gun. The problem is the society that took prayer out of school that caused our kids and our young people to be bound up by demons. That's where the problem is. Okay? You can take away every single gun there is in the world, and they'll still find a way to kill others. Well, let me tell you, it is wonderful to be in Jesus, turn the news on, be sorry for the people, and pray for the ones that you let them pray for. And feel it has nothing to do with you. For 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Let me tell you, in the last 8 days, my wife and I have been to 2 funerals, and no off connected with 3 other deaths. That's 5 in 8 days. Now, 2 of them were in their 80s, which is not old, but for the world, you might say, well, they're in the 80s. But the other 3 were like what? 30, 20s, and 19. So that's what shakes the people. Let me tell you, it's starting to go faster and faster. Pastor Matthew and I were preparing for semester 3, School of Dominion, looking at what we're going to teach. And we look at a teaching I did a couple of years ago called the Metamorphosis. And in the Metamorphosis, I went over the prophecies that were given in 2011. And this was like 2013, it was 2013. So 2 years had gone by, 11, 12, 2.5 years. And it's amazing how many prophecies had already come true. Not to mention the ones that have come true since then. Let me tell you, these are serious times. I implore you, saturate yourself in the anointing of God. And know that nobody can do it for you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's saturate ourselves with God.